On Nensai, a thinner, weekday version of the crowd went through the motions of the dance. I gotta see this guy, Case said, watching his reflection in her glasses. I got biz to cancel out of. Bullshit, she said. You're going in there to check us out with your smuggler. Case, sport, it does look as though your companion there is definitely armed, aside from having a fair amount of silicon in her head. What is this about, exactly? Dean's ghostly cough seemed to hang in the air between them. Hey, hold on, Julie. Anyway, I'm coming in alone. You can be sure of that, old son. Wouldn't have it any other way. Okay, she said, go. 5 minutes any more and I'll come in and I'll cool your tight friend permanently. She turned and walked out past stacked white modules of preserved ginger. Keeping stranger company than usual, Case? Asked Julie. Julie, she's gone. You want to let me in? Please, Julie? The bolts worked. Slowly, Case, said the voice. Turn on the works, Julie. All the stuff in the desk, Case said, taking his place in the swivel chair. It's on all the time, Dean said mildly, taking a gun and aiming it carefully at Case. It was a belly gun, a magnum revolver with the barrel sawn down to a nub. The front of the trigger guard had been cut away and the grips wrapped with what looked like old masking tape. Case thought it looked very strange in Dean's manicured pink hands. Just taking care, you understand, Dean said. Nothing personal. Now tell me what you want. I need a history lesson, Julie, and a go-to on somebody. Go-to on whom, old son? Gaijin name of Armitage, sweet in the Hilton. Dean put the pistol down. Sit still, Case. He tapped something out on a lap terminal. It seems as though you know as much as my net does, Case. This gentleman seems to have a temporary arrangement with the Yakuza, and the Sons of the Neon Chrysanthemum have ways of screening their allies from the likes of me. I wouldn't have it any other way. Now, history. What sort of history? The war, Julie. Screaming Fist. Oh, famous. Don't they teach you history these days? Great bloody post-war political football, that was. Watergate it all to hell and back. Your brass case, your sprawl-side brass and, where was it, McLean? In the bunkers, all of that? Great scandal. Wasted a fair bit of patriotic young flesh, Case, in order to test some new technology. They knew about the Russians' defenses, it came out later. Knew about the imps' magnetic pulse weapons, sent those fellows in regardless, just to see. Any of those guys make it out, Julie? Oh, Christ, Dean said, it's been bloody years. Though I do think a few did, one of the teams. Got hold of a Sov helicopter, you know, flew it back to Finland. Didn't have entry codes, of course, shot hell out of the Finnish defense forces in the process. Special forces types. Case nodded. The smell of preserved ginger was overwhelming. Thanks, Julie. I owe you one. Later, he'd tell himself that the evening at Sammy's had felt wrong from the start. That even as he'd followed Molly along the corridor, shuffling through a trampled mulch of ticket stubs and styrofoam cups, he'd sensed it. Linda's death. Waiting. He'd gone to the Namban after he'd paid off his debt to Wage with a roll of Armitage's new yen. Then he'd taken Molly back to the chat for a drink. Wasting your time, cowboy, Molly said, when Case took an octagon from the pocket of his jacket. How's that? It's your new pancreas, pal. Those plugs in your liver. Armitage had them designed to bypass that shit. She tapped the octagon. You're biochemically incapable of getting off on amphetamine or cocaine. Eat it. Eat a dozen. Nothing'll happen. He did. Nothing did. 3 beers later, she was asking rats about the fights. Sammy's, rats said. I'll pass, Case said. I hear they kill each other down there. An hour later, she was buying tickets. Sammy's was an inflated dome behind a portside warehouse. The air was damp and close with the smell of sweat and concrete. No light but the holograms that shifted and flickered above the ring, reproducing the movements of the two men below. Reflected colors flowed across Molly's lenses as the men circled. The holograms were 10-power magnifications. At 10, the knives they held were just under a meter long. The knife fighter's grip is the fencer's grip, Case remembered. The fingers curled, thumb aligned with the blade. The knives seemed to move of their own accord, gliding with a ritual lack of urgency through the arcs and passes of their dance, point passing point, as the men waited for an opening. Molly's upturned face was smooth and still, watching. "I'll go find us some food," Case said. He didn't like this place. He turned and walked back into the shadows. Too dark, too quiet. He bought yakitori on skewers and 2 cartons of beer. Glancing up at the holograms, he saw that blood laced one figure's chest. Thick brown sauce trickled down the skewers and over his knuckles. Blood sprayed from a jugular in a red gout of light, and now the crowd was screaming, rising, screaming, as one figure crumpled, the hologram fading, flickering. Raw edge of vomit in his throat, he closed his eyes, took a deep breath, opened them, and saw Linda Lee step past him, her gray eyes blind with fear. She wore the same French fatigues, and gone into shadow. Pure, mindless reflex, he threw the beer and chicken down and ran after her. He might have called her name, but he'd never be sure. After image of a single hair, fine line of red light. Her white sneakers flashing. Again, the ghost of the laser branded across his eye, bobbing in his vision as he ran. Someone tripped him. Concrete tore his palms. He rolled and kicked, failing to connect. A thin boy's spiked blonde hair was leaning over him. The boy smiled and drew something from his sleeve, a razor. Case saw the razor dipping for his throat. The face was erased in a humming cloud of microscopic explosions, Molly's flechettes at 20 rounds per second. The boy coughed once convulsively and toppled across Case's legs. He was walking toward the stalls into the shadows. He found her. She was thrown down at the foot of a concrete pillar. One white sneaker had come off somehow and lay beside her head. Case walked on, feeling nothing. "Hey, Case." Molly's mirrors emerged from the deeper shadow. "You okay?" Something mewled and bubbled in the dark behind her. "Fight's over, Case. Time we go home." He tried to walk past her, back into the dark, where something was dying. She stopped him. "Friends of your tight friend. Killed your girl for you. We got a partial profile on that old bastard when we did you, man. He'd fry anybody for a few new ones. The one back there said they got onto her when she was trying to fence your ram. Just cheaper for them to kill her and take it. I got the one who had the laser to tell me about it. Coincidence we were here, but I had to make sure." Case felt as though his brain were jammed. "Who?" he said. "Who sent them?" She passed him a bag of preserved ginger. He saw that her hands were sticky with blood. Back in the shadows, someone made wet sounds and died. After the post-operative check at the clinic, Molly took him to the port. Armitage was waiting. He'd chartered a hovercraft. Part 2, The Shopping Expedition. Home. Home was Bama, the sprawl, the Boston-Atlanta metropolitan axis. Opening his eyes, he saw Molly naked and just out of reach across an expanse of very new pink temper foam. Her body was spare, neat, the muscles like a dancer's. He sat up. The room was empty, aside from 2 nylon bags, new and identical. He swung his feet to the floor. His head ached. He remembered Paris, shopping. She had taken him shopping. He knelt beside the bags. The first one he opened was stuffed with things he didn't remember buying. Beneath a green t-shirt, he discovered a bright 9-pointed star. "Souvenir," Molly said. "I noticed you were always looking at them." "Someone's coming later to secure the place," Armitage said. He stood in the open doorway. "You ever the heat, Mr. Armitage?" Case asked. Armitage was no taller than Case, but with his broad shoulders and military posture, he seemed to fill the doorway. The handsome, inexpressive features offered the routine beauty of the cosmetic boutiques, a conservative amalgam of the past decade's leading media faces. The pale glitter of his eyes heightened the effect of a mask. "Lots of special forces types wound up cops, I mean," Case said, "or corporate security. That number you had them do on my pancreas, that's like a cop routine." "You're a lucky boy, Case. You should thank me." "Should I?" "You needed a new pancreas. The one we bought for you frees you from a dangerous dependency." "Well, thanks, but I was enjoying that dependency." "Good, because now you have a new one. How's that?" "You have 15 toxin sacs bonded to the lining of various main arteries, Case. They're dissolving, very slowly. Each one contains a mycotoxin. You're already familiar with the effect of that mycotoxin. It was the one your former employers gave you in Memphis." Case blinked up at the smiling mask. "You have time to do what I'm hiring you for, Case, but that's all. Do the job and I can inject you with an enzyme that will dissolve the bond without opening the sacs. Then you'll need a blood change. So you see, Case, you need us. You need us as badly as you did when we scraped you up from the gutter." Summer in the sprawl and the mall crowd swaying like wind-blown grass, a field of flesh shot through with sudden eddies of need and gratification. He sat beside Molly in filtered sunlight on the rim of a dry concrete fountain. Nothing here like the electric dance of Ninsai. This was different commerce, different rhythm, in the smell of fast food and perfume and fresh summer sweat. "Where'd he go?" Case had asked Molly. "He likes hotels," she said, "big ones, near airports if he can manage it. Let's go down to the street." "So what's he got on you?" he said. "How's he got the working girl kinked?" "Professional pride, baby, that's all. We're going to get us some breakfast, okay? Eggs, real bacon. Come on, we'll tube it to Manhattan and get us a real breakfast." Lifeless neon spelled out Metro Holographics in dusty capitals. Case picked at a shred of bacon lodged between his front teeth. He'd given up asking Molly where they were going and why. Jabs in the ribs and the sign for silence were all he'd gotten in reply. Something was moving in the shadows behind Metro Holographics. The door was a sheet of corrugated roofing. In front of it, Molly's hands flowed through an intricate sequence of jive that he couldn't follow. He caught the sign for cash, a thumb brushing the tip of the forefinger. The door swung inward, and she led him into the smell of dust. They stood in a clearing, dense tangles of junk rising on either side to walls lined with shelves of crumbling paperbacks. He followed her back through a narrow canyon of impacted scrap. The tunnel ended with an ancient army blanket tacked across a doorway. White light flooded out as Molly ducked past it. Four square walls of blank white plastic, floored with white hospital tile. In the center stood a square white wooden table and four white folding chairs. The man who stood in the doorway behind them seemed to have been designed in a wind tunnel. His ears were very small, plastered flat against his narrow skull, and his large front teeth were canted sharply backward. He held a handgun in his left hand. He gestured to Case, pointed at a white slab of plastic that leaned near the doorway. Case crossed to it and saw that it was a solid sandwich of circuitry, nearly a centimeter thick. He helped the man lift it and position it securely in the doorway. "Time," the man said, "counting. You know the rate, Molly. We need a scan, Finn, for implants. So get over there, stand on the tape, straighten up, yeah. Now turn, give me a full 360. Case watched her rotate between two fragile-looking stands studded with sensors. The man took a small monitor from his pocket. "Something new in your head, yeah, silicon. It's a clock, right? Your glasses give me the read they always do. Same with your claws. Get over here, Case." He saw a scuffed X in black on the white floor. Turn around to your slow. Nah, this guy's a virgin. Some cheap dental work is all. You want me to shut the screen down? Just for as long as it takes you to leave, Finn. Then we'll want full screen for as long as we want it. Hey, that's fine by the Finn, Maul. You're only paying by the second. They sealed the door behind him, and Molly turned one of the white chairs around and sat on it. We talk now. This is about as private as I can afford. What about? What we're doing, working for Armitage. And you're saying this isn't for his benefit? Yeah. I saw your profile, Case, and I've seen the rest of our shopping list once. You ever work with the dead? No, he said. I could, I guess. I'm good at what I do. You know the Dixie Flatline's dead? Case nodded. His heart, I heard. You'll be working with his construct, she smiled. Taught you the ropes, huh? Somebody got a recording of McCoy Pauly? Who? I can't see it. He'd never have sat still for it. SenseNet paid him mega, you bet your ass. Well, if we can get the Flatline, Case said, we're home free. He was the best. You know he did brain death 3 times? She nodded. Look, Case, I've been trying to suss out who it is backing Armitage since I signed on. Armitage gets orders. Like somebody tells him to go off to Chiba, pick up a pillhead who's making one last wobble through the burnout belt, and trade a program for the operation that'll fix him up. We could have bought 20 world-class cowboys for what the market was ready to pay for that surgical program. You were good, man, but you were never that good. Obviously makes sense to somebody, he said. Somebody big. Hey, don't let me hurt your feelings, she grinned. We're going to be pulling one hardcore run just to get the Flatline's construct. SenseNet has it locked in a library vault uptown, tighter than an eel's ass, Case. Weird. Yeah, it's all weird, he said. You're weird, this hole's weird. Who's the weird little gopher outside in the hall? Finn's an old connection of mine, she said. Fence, mostly. Software. This privacy biz is a sideline. But I got Armitage to let him be our tech here, so when he shows up later, you never saw him. Got it? He stared at her. So tell me what you know about Armitage. Well, for starters, she said, nobody named Armitage took part in any screaming fist. I checked. But you are a cowboy, aren't you? I mean, maybe you could have a little look around. He'd kill me, Case said. Maybe, she said, maybe not. I think he needs you, Case, real bad. What else is on that list you mentioned? Toys, mostly for you. And one certified psychopath, name of Peter Riviera. Real ugly customer. Where's he? Case asked. I don't know, but he's one sick fuck. I saw his profile. God awful. So we're together in this, you and me, partners? Case looked at her. I got a lot of choice, huh? She laughed. You got it, cowboy. The Matrix has its roots in primitive arcade games, said the voiceover, in early graphics programs, holograms, and military experimentation with cranial jacks. On the Sony.